B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on over there? Fire?
Close to a bitches.
I had to be towed in by another adult male.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, where you at?
51575.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Rob and Rob.
Two Robs and a Joe. Not bad, not bad.
I'm Joe also, so.
Excitement.
Well, the Incredible Hulk was always the guy that turns green and has muscles like Ted Johnson muscles.
I've had a 200-ounce bucket of popcorn.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. A big show today. The man that you just heard, Pasta Joe, is at home, I would imagine. I don't think he has anywhere else to go. You and I have the same hat.
Do we?
Yeah, we love free hats.
Free hats. I love free hats. I only wear free hats.
You and I are both wearing free hats.
All my hats are from the station.
I wore that last night.
No kidding.
I wore it to my son's baseball game yesterday.
I wore that hat last night.
That's right.
Very good.
That's right. We are all incredibly cheap.
Yep.
And then I wore my Red Sox yarmulke right after it.
Had baseball on and everything.
to express my individuality.
It wasn't stamped? No, it wasn't stamped?
No, it wasn't stamped.
Okay.
On the inside, no.
Yes.
No, you know it's mine because it's knitted.
I see.
John and I had that conversation earlier in the week about how, you know, like my son's basketball team, his travel basketball team, I think like 5 out of the 12 kids wore yarmulkes. And they were all like, they all expressed a little bit of individuality.
Sure. And they all had, they have the clip.
Now that, John, I would imagine they had the clip, but they are very hidden.
Okay.
You know what I saw yesterday is I saw a couple and I don't even know if they were Jewish because it was, I've never seen this. It was like a, they were pushing a stroller and the kid in the stroller had a cloth draped over the child, so you couldn't see the child.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was a guy with, like, an Amish hat on and, like, an Amish beard, you know, like, without the mustache.
Sure.
And then there was a woman that was clad entirely in black. But I don't know. I thought at first they were Orthodox, but they almost looked Amish.
Mm-hmm. Like, is that Hasidic Jews?
They didn't look like Hasids, but I don't know. I've never seen, it did not look that way to me. And I know the Hasids, baby. On Saturday in Newton, you drive around, they're kicking it. Walking to and from the GOG. But,
the GOG.
Sometimes you got to rock the GOG.
I wonder if anyone actually says that.
Put on your yam and head down the GOG.
Head down the GOG. Right.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that isn't said too much, but.
Well, listen, if you're short on time, you go, right. Let's rock the GOG. Right. By the way, my son, I'm Jewish. I am not Jewish. My wife is Jewish. My kids go to a quasi-Hebrew school at a middle school, which is like, it's basically for people with mixed religions. And my son is 10. And you're bar mitzvahed at 13?
Yes. Yeah.
And we have to find a place for him to be bar mitzvahed. Now.
Oh, yeah.
God, yes. Yep. I'm surprised you haven't started looking already. I mean, it's expensive, too. This is a thing. It is.
Hey, well, get ready to drop some coin.
Yeah, yeah, that's the other thing about it. Yeah,
we are not right. Keeping up with the Joneses. This is not going to be a wedding. Like, my wife's bat mitzvah cost more than our wedding did.
I believe it.
Oh, a good friend of mine
I believe it.
Had his middle child, his son, bar mitzvahed, and he had the reception at the Hotel Commonwealth, which is right across the highway from Fenway Park. Serious money dropped.
Yeah, that's not happening.
Bands, celebrities.
Yeah, you got to get lions. And
a lot of guys.
Magicians.
He rented it.
Well, we're getting lions. I mean, that goes without saying. We got to keep up with that tradition.
DJ and dancers, and it was a whole thing for the reception. It really was.
Yeah, that's not happening.
That is the future, scene. Fred.
Yeah. That's not happening. And my wife is on board with that. My kids have never been to a synagogue. So, I mean, it's going to be a low-key affair. Like, we're thinking of, like, renting a room at a restaurant. I don't need this running around and having, like, a big hall.
Mm-hmm.
But that still costs you, like, you know, it could cost you $15,000 just for that.
Yes, set you back a little bit.
But, I mean, the idea of spending $50,000 or even more, like, my wedding was $30,000, and 10 of it was mine because I got the band.
Mm-hmm.
The band was $10,000. And I had to fly them in from all over the world, but the I'm not spending $30,000.
Don't you make it up by don't people bring in kind of cash?
You get cash, yes, you do, but it doesn't go to me. I mean,
no, it's true. It goes to the 13-year-old.
Yeah, I'm not taking the kid's money.
That's
true. So you know, so I'll put it in a savings account that returns 1%, and then he can enjoy that. All right, well, a big night in sports last night, obviously. The Bruins completely dominated a game, and then you thought they were going to lose. And then you have the draft that even, and I know Ted Johnson, who's here today, I know that you covered the draft, and Lockhart's a big draft guy, and I love the draft. They just said, like, let's not start.
Yeah.
Let's kick it around.
Yeah, for an hour and listen to Sam Ponder do the worst interview with the commissioner. Just enough analysis, right? It was an hour of just pre-talk before it actually got down to the draft.
Yeah, thank God the Bruins were on because it was, I mean, I watched the entire Bruins game.
Mm-hmm.
I was interested in the first pick. I was interested in the first three picks. And then, but I was able to consume. I didn't miss any of the Bruins game.
After the Bruins game was over at whatever it was, 10:05, you flipped over to the draft and they were on pick 10.
Yeah.
Pick 11.
What a beating that thing.
Something like that.
Yeah. They've completely ruined that.
Totally. I mean, last night was just so boring.
Yep.
And it was just so long. At 11 o'clock, it was like pick 22. And I was
last
like,
year,
I got to go to bed.
Yeah, last year, it took 3 hours, 20 minutes? Mm-hmm. I mean, it went pretty quick, as I remember.
What pissed me off is they would go, the pick is in, and then they'd go to commercial.
Yeah. Right.
And I avoided Twitter. I'm sure people were saying who got taken.
I avoided it, too, because I've had enough of that.
Right. And so you'd see, like, the Jets. Like, I was interested, obviously, I'm a Jet fan. I'm going to see who they took or if they were going to trade out of the position. It says the pick is in. So, all right. 5 minutes. And 5 minutes until they announce that they take the Williams kid.
Yeah.
So, something I've loved, the Jets Super Bowl. It's always been the Jets Super Bowl was drafted.
Yeah.
And now they've screwed it up, you know, 90% of the time. But nonetheless, it's a day of hope.
They're doing better now.
Yeah, they didn't screw it up last night.
I think they got it right last night, Fred.
Well, they got Darnold, and then they got Jamal Adams, who was the best player on the board, and then they got the best player on the board last night.
A lot of people say he was the best player in the last two drafts. So Quinton Williams is one of those guys that's he's a special elite talent out of Alabama. So, I mean, a theme
embraces, which I didn't care for.
Well, he's going to be a bust now.
Yeah, he stupid braces on his face.
Yeah, he does look like a giant kid.
Oh, yeah, I think he is a giant kid.
Yeah.
Manchow.
Yeah.
But the theme of the AFC East last night was get somebody to get to one Tom Brady.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, the Dolphins, the Jets, and the Bills all get pass rushers, you know, and interior defensive linemen in this draft last night.
And what's funny is that the Raiders are going to be the funniest team in all of sports for a long time.
Oh, that was the biggest shock. Are you kidding?
I think the kid was shocked, too.
He was.
Me? Yeah. Oh, okay. I have two teammates that are better than me, but I'll go first. Yeah. That's fine.
I love the reports, too. I don't know if you guys talked about it, but the report that Mike Mayock, the new general manager there at Oakland, and also the head coach, John Gruden, basically kicked out the scouts.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Kicked out the scouts leading up to
because they didn't know who they could trust.
Yeah. They didn't want any leaks to the media.
Yeah,
they didn't want anybody to know that they were going to go for a guy that was, you know, projected to go in the later first round.
That's the thing. If anyone had leaked that, no one would have believed it. Yeah, so it didn't matter.
Okay.
But wouldn't you rather have your pick leaked than to essentially fire the guys that were responsible for scouting this entire draft? Mm-hmm,
yeah. Because next year they're going to be like, well, why should we try hard? They're just going to throw us out anyways. You guys can all, you know, do your own work.
But, yeah, but like, what's the worst case scenario is they leak out the who you're thinking about picking? Good. Then have Mayock stand at a press conference and say something that's contrary to that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're insane. That owner's insane. Gruden's insane. And Mayock obviously is insane.
That's why we need Hard Knocks. It's not official yet, right?
No,
Hard Knocks must go there, especially after the guy they just took. They must go there. Please go there.
Yeah, they're going to go there. There's no question about it. There's no question about it at all. All right. Now, the Bruins, we'll get deep into that. Bert Breer is going to come on to talk about the draft. Pasta Joe at 7 o'clock. We got recaps. Judge Surratt going to be in studio. Danny Ainge at 9 o'clock. It is a full show on a Friday. So looking forward to that. A good day. Good day of sports yesterday if you are a Boston sports fan. We'll be back in just
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
There's someone very special I want you guys to meet.
Toucher and Rich.
I just want to tell you both good luck.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed. It's Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night? 98.5 The Sports Hub. If you were ever questioning if it's better to have 9 days off or play with one day's rest in the NHL playoffs, that question was answered in the first period as the Bruins absolutely dominated, just dominated, the Columbus Blue Jackets. If it wasn't for their goaltender, they would have been in massive problems. Even Tortorella admitted that when they talked to him on the bench.
In that first period, they dominated for sure.
Yeah, the first period, they absolutely dominated. Unfortunately, it took only one shorthanded goal. That's all they got, and it was Achari and with the shorthander.
Bruins are dialed in right now. Start this game.
Here's Texier out at center ice. Achari brings it over the line, into the right circle. Shoots, he scores! Noel Achari electrifies the crowd here at the Garden with a short-handed goal. He drilled it low inside the far post. 1-0 Bruins.
Is there anything more frustrating when the ice is tilted like that and you can't get anything in?
No. That's as good as I've seen the Bruins play in how many months? I mean, honestly. They played some really good hockey, too. That was a thorough beating in the first period, and all they get is a shorthanded goal.
Yeah, Bobrovsky.
Like, that's not good.
Yeah, Bobrovsky, like, you just thought, oh, Jesus. Like, at least get two.
Yeah.
Because he's standing on his head, and that's the kind of thing. You know, we were talking about it, where, like, you know, is a goaltender going to steal a series? And you're thinking, my God, that gave me a bad feel. See, it can go both ways. When you're dominating in that fashion and the ice is tilted that way and you have nothing to show for it.
All it takes is a bad bounce. The other team gets a breakaway and it's tied.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the sinking feeling you get while you're watching a game.
Well,
like that
almost happened because Charlie Coyle for a while was the GOAT of the game, and he loses a puck, and that leads to the tying goal.
Coyle gave it away. High slot. Nash twist to the near wall. Lost his edge from his knee. Shoveled it back in the cage. Jenner up top. Jones shoots, deflected. They score! Turnover. Jackets tied on a tip shot. 12-21 remaining in the third. We're tied at one.
Yeah, and then 13 seconds later, they come out back and score again.
Another bad bounce off a guy's backside. I mean, yeah, it just it, weird.
Backside, look at you.
I was going to say ass. I should have just said ass.
Look, I just...
Can. I should have said something like that.
You're going for a tummy. Network gig.
Yeah, that's right.
Hit him in the tummy.
Channeling my inner Rochi there. That was not good.
You're good because they can't say ass except for Milbury, who can swear.
Right.
So, yeah, you channeled your inner national broadcaster. So
yeah.
So that happens, and you're thinking, all right, Coyle, you piece of garbage.
I'm sure everybody was thinking that.
Yeah.
But, oh, you're thinking, it's so much for the depth scoring. I mean, Jesus, you got a shorthanded goal from a fourth liner, and now here we are, and nothing's going on. And
but wait.
But wait, there's more. Charlie Coyle says, let's tie this bastard up.
Krug settles the puck. Ducks the head, fires it on right wing Johansson to the right circle. Johansson, backhand toward the slot, off the post! They score! That was a rocket in and out of a net so fast! Charlie Coyle released it, and we're tied at two!
Now, it's interesting, and I know that we're going to play audio from Cassidy talking about this, but how long was this team completely top-heavy? And you couldn't get scoring. Now the bottom six is doing everything. I mean, this is the perfect timing for this to happen. And Cassidy, you know, he rolls the fourth line out there to start the game. They're incredibly physical. They outshot Columbus 14-4 in the first period. I mean, dominating. Can you imagine if they lost that game? This is not talked about enough. The Bruins are playing great. Put the puck in the net. I mean, there's only so many things you can do.
But that's playoff hockey, Fred. You see it all the time.
It's just hockey. I know. Yeah. And it's frustrating. At a certain point, you can pepper a goaltender, but at a certain point, something has to go in or it's for naught.
Coyle, the shot that went in from Coyle inside the post like that, that was remarkable.
Yes.
That was the only place it could have been on the ice. I still don't know how he fit it in there. It was amazing.
It was a nice shot. And then here we go to overtime. And the momentum had shifted back to the Bruins. And Coyle says, I will again atone for my sins.
Here's Johansson. We'll flip it out to center ice, glove by Heinen. One on two. Carries it over the line. Near circle, Johansson fires, deflected, they score!
Yeah. What's up, South Shore?
Every article I've read this morning talks about how he's from Weyman.
Yep. Hometown boy.
That's the Tom Glavine treatment, ladies and gentlemen.
You know, this is, it's the kid that, how many times was he in the street, playing street hockey?
And dreaming of this moment.
Yeah, imagining this moment go in. But listen, at least they took game one, where if they would have lost, it would have been exceptionally frustrating.
It's kind of nice to see Charlie Coyle, have an impact because, look, I mean, when he was acquired at the trade deadline and just kind of, he's just a guy for most of the better part of the last part of the season. And so to get him to kind of have a breakout game is nice because you haven't really seen much of an impact since he's been here.
Well, I mean, he's been good in the playoffs. And
first round against Toronto is pretty good, too.
Yeah, they needed a third-line center, and this is a depth pick that you thought – might not mean anything, and he's come through in the playoffs. And Charlie Coyle interviewed after the game. By the way, Judge Surratt's coming in. Apparently a little bit quirky, I've been told. A little strange.
Hmm.
Yeah. I think that's – if you're doing radio play-by-play, I think that makes you kind of strange.
Okay.
You want to expand on that?
I don't know. I've been told that. Not by Jaffe, who he lived with. I will tell you that. But he did live with Jaffe for an entire year.
You're saying radio play-by-play guy is it's a little different than a
Sean
TV
Grandy's play-by-play. A weird guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no question about it. Mm-hmm. Would you deny, John, that Sean Grandy...
Is Sean quirky? Yes.
Yes.
He is. Mm-hmm.
Which is another way of saying he's kind of an odd fella.
I'd say he's quirky.
Huh?
He's a quirky individual. Yes.
Yeah, he's weird.
Quirky.
he's which is also kind of like weird, right?
Yeah, he's like a weird guy.
I call it quirky.
Now, are you afraid if you say something you're not going to get anything?
He's terrified. I've known Sean for a long time. Not terrified at all.
All right. By the way, now that the schedule out, is there a Wednesday game?
There is, but I still don't know if I'm doing it.
Is it an away Wednesday game?
It is, but as I said, I have not gotten word that I get it or not.
Well, John, that sounds like you're going to be calling a little Milwaukee-Boston basketball.
I'm told it's possible. That's all I know at this point.
Is it like a carrot? Are you going to have to do something? Are you going to have to go out back and pleasure someone or something?
Rake his yard? No. That's not how it works. No.
Okay. Because I was you were told if there was a Wednesday away game.
Now, that it was a possibility, yes.
Now, why can't he do Wednesday away game?
I don't know. I really don't.
Because he's quirky.
Because he's quirky.
He's quirky. Yeah. No, I don't know the whys or hows, or I just get phone calls, say, we need you. And I'm like, okay.
All right, well, it's that simple. Did we play the Coyle audio?
No, we haven't.
Okay. All right, so here is Coyle after the game.
I had a costly turnover, third period. You can't have that during the game. I owe it to my teammates, owe it to this guy a lot more. So I'm just glad we our line kept playing and got to go out there and redeem ourselves, and just happy to get the win after that, to be honest.
And Cassidy states the obvious here. He talks about, for so long it was the first line carrying this team. He talks about the depth.
Secondary scoring, something we need. We lacked at times this year, and we seem to have found it now. It's really helped us, and the timing of it's been terrific. And he was a big part of that tonight, so very happy for him. You know, he's a hardworking guy, and like I said, happy they got rewarded.
All right, Tuukka Rask, who was electric last night.
Beast.
I mean, he is
great.
If he can keep this up, I mean, he was even with Bobrovsky. I mean, he only had four shots on him in the first period, but those were high quality chances.
This is the goaltender that Tuukka Rask haters hate to see. This is the one that is Vezina Trophy caliber. He was phenomenal.
Second
long
period,
stretches
he was,
of time.
Had all kinds of saves in the second period, man.
Yeah. I mean, he high leverage situations, he was there. He kept the Bruins in the game. And Tuukka Rask talks about the second goal that went in 13 seconds after the first goal.
Yeah, I saw it. It was going blocker side. I made a reacted to that shot, and I actually thought it hit Brandon's skate or something, but apparently it hit Dubois' ass. So, it's one of those that happens. Shoot the puck, you kind of go in sometime.
So he'll say ass, but John Wall.
No, he's not looking for the network gig, though.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the thing.
John, now, could you say ass during a Celtics broadcast?
Sure.
You could?
Yes. You just can't say, testicles. Probably not testicles.
Even though it's the actual medical
or
term.
Balls. You probably couldn't say balls.
All right, I
during
understand
the Celtics
balls,
broadcast.
But you couldn't say testicles?
Probably. Well, you could, but it would be just weird to say on a natural on a broadcast.
It's not a natural thing to say.
Yeah.
But my question is then, like, why testicles? I mean, people are aware of what they are.
Yeah, they
it's
are.
It's a medical term.
Yeah, but it's one of those things.
So, are we supposed to pretend that men don't have testicles?
Midsection, below the belt. No, you're not supposed to pretend anything. I mean, this is, people are very well aware of the male anatomy.
But I was always taught in radio, or I was told, it's about the nuance and subtleties and not just blatant, just say it. You don't want to just say.
See, if you're a shock, if you're a shock jock, you then you just let it fly.
I know I can say anything. I can say balls.
Yeah,
I can say nutsack. I can say whatever I want.
Right,
but I always let
Fred Toucher. So yeah,
that's right. I am baby. But I always thought it's funny that you can't say testicles.
Yeah.
Like my lord, people are going to figure out men have testicles.
That's right.
What's next? Talking about breasts.
That's right.
All right,
I can't imagine when the word testicles would ever need to be brought up in a NBA broadcast, though.
Oh, you're getting the balls.
Well, I mean, how many times have we seen Draymond Green kick someone there? I mean,
that's
a lot.
And they say in the groin, and you're like,
yeah.
You can't kick someone in the groin.
No.
You're going to catch balls.
The crotchetal region, if you will.
Back in the day of the short shorts, I'm sure there was a lot of testicles flying around.
Yes, I would imagine that's true.
No, but the things were snug back then.
We can ask Danny Ainge. Maybe he'll answer it for
us. See, the thing is, you can't. You don't do that with Ainge.
No? I think after the last time he was on, I think you guys are kind of ramping up to that special kind of relationship.
I'm not going to put Ainge on the spot using language. The man's a Mormon. I'm not going to start putting.
Okay.
That. All right. Tortorella talked after the game, and he was. By the way, he did a press conference yesterday. That I heard this on Felger and Mess. He did a press conference yesterday that was for the Boston media, I believe, talking about the Bruins. Yeah. And then he got on and said he wasn't going to talk about the Bruins.
Yeah. I saw that. I'm like, that makes sense. Yeah. That's the torts I want.
Yeah.
You kidding me?
It's a young team. It's a lot of psychology with the team like Columbus, you know? So it's mind games, right? I mean, it's a mind game thing. So he knows all his players, listens to what he has to say. And so that's him psychologically trying to get his team in the right frame of mind, in my opinion.
No, it didn't work.
Didn't work.
So here's Tortorella after the game.
Yeah, you saw our struggles in the first. We couldn't handle the tempo of the game, or we just weren't thinking quick enough. I don't know how you can get that. We just couldn't simulate that. So as far as trying to get ready, and you got that team that's coming on in a high. But I think we... slowly got about our business and found our game, and we just got to be ready to start the next game.
Yeah. So thank God the Bruins won that game after that first period, because again, playoff hockey, it's just frustrating when the ice is tilted so far in your favor and you can't get anything in.
The one thing that does worry me a little bit is you see a team like the Blue Jackets who have, 8 days off?
More.
Leading up to this, 9 days off, yeah. Leading up to this series. They come out a little slow, not obviously, you know, just weren't in sync in that first period. And then they started to figure it out in that second period, made it a game in the third period. Last year in the second round, with the Bruins played the Tampa Bay Lightning, who had a long layoff, right? Where the Bruins had a seven-game, you know, rock'em sock'em series with Toronto in the first round. Bruins go win the first game against Tampa Bay last year in that second round, and then they didn't lose the next four, correct?
Yeah.
That's where you just worry about, okay, you know, yeah, that layoff affected the Blue Jackets in that first period. And maybe, you know, and they lose this first game, but man, it's that collectively having 9 days off could benefit them the rest of this series against the Bruins, if that makes sense.
See, I look at it differently than you do. Obviously, Columbus found their game in the second period. You saw what got them that sweep over Tampa Bay.
But it's not overly impressive.
Well, what I'm saying, I was about to say something similar to that. The Bruins kind of matched that intensity. And then even though Bobrovsky had played so well for the balance of the evening, the Bruins figured it out. I mean, they were losing 2-1. By all accounts, they probably should have lost last night. And it was two weird goals. A double deflection beat Rask once, and then a deflection off the guy's ass beat him the second time. And the Bruins figured out a way to come back and win the game. And that's what you have to do at this time of year. I mean, I like the way the Bruins responded. I mean, Columbus, second and third period, that's the way the Columbus Blue Jackets played in the first round, and the Bruins responded and played just as well, if not better, when
because,
it mattered.
Because the Bruins can match their game.
Yeah.
The thing is, the Bruins are comfortable playing low-scoring games.
If Rask continues to play like he played last night.
If Rask plays that way, they win in six.
Yep.
I mean, there's no question. If Rask plays that way, I mean, the Bruins are a better team. I've heard, you know, people go, oh, I don't know. No, the Bruins are a better team.
They are. They play the same way Columbus does, and they're better at it.
And they're battle-tested, and they have more veteran experience.
Yeah.
I mean, if Rask plays that way, they win this series. All right.
Well, don't look now, but you see who the favorite is to win the Stanley Cup now that we're on to the second round. That would be the Boston Bruins at 3-1, have the best odds, according to Vegas. Well, to win the whole thing.
They should. Yeah. They're the best team left in this thing. All right, here are the headlines.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Listening at home to Toucher and Rich is simple with your Amazon or Google smart speaker.
Oh, I need one of those.
Just say, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
why they leave me stuck in the late night town. Town's not so hot that
Souls of Mischief could not be released. Nobody's smiling, plus crews up. Would not release the sample. By the way, I'll be listening at 6:50 this morning for your chance to see or get a four-pack of vouchers to see Avengers Endgame, Marvel Studios' grand conclusion to 22 films, courtesy of Fandango. We will hopefully talk to Pasta Joe at 7 about his experience watching 23 movies in succession. Yes.
I have a friend of mine who went to see Avengers Endgame. And I asked him, what was it like? And he said to me, I got to be honest with you, I'm worn out.
I've heard that. I've heard a lot of people say
after watching
that.
The movie, yeah. He said, I got to be honest with you, I'm worn out. And I'm not just saying this because it was a thing here the last couple of days. I was looking online and on Twitter, people seem to be leaning in Nicholas's direction this.
Young, sickly Nicholas, it does not excuse what he did. I don't care if everyone on the planet did it. It was a dumb movie. Listen, I've cried at dumb crap.
Yeah.
And I don't, if you told me you cried, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing says anything worse about this society than you're emotionally drained after a film. If you told me you cried, and it makes perfect sense. You've spent so many hours of your life consuming this material and now it's over.
Mm-hmm.
I understand it. And I'm not being a cool guy. I'm not. But it shows a softness in society when, like, you describe yourself as being drained from watching a stupid... Now, drained from sitting in a theater for 3 hours, which is insanity, is... And I think we can all agree that being in a theater for 3 hours is a certain hell.
It is. But unfortunately, I think I'm going to put myself through it.
Fine. Go ahead. Yeah. I mean, that's your prerogative.
Yep.
And I know that I know that I'm the one who doesn't care about this, and I understand that this is a thing that a lot of people care about. Nonetheless, I'm drained.
Yeah.
Oh, shut up.
Said he was worn out.
Drained. Yeah,
worn out by the experience.
Just the movie,
all the things that happened in the movie, a culmination of how many, 78 hours worth of movies, all culminating in this one 3-hour extravaganza. Yeah,
go to Flint where they don't have drinking water. See how drained you get.
Okay, I'll do that, Fred.
I mean, there's time to have priorities.
That's the most random right.
You know what? That's a good idea. I'll go to Flint, Michigan.
Yeah,
put things in perspective.
Yeah, no one particularly cares that Flint has just drinking water that cannot be consumed.
That's a good point. It has been pushed to the background, Fred.
But yet,
not the left turn I was expecting. But okay.
But yet, you know, people are emotionally drained.
Yeah,
I cried at the last episode of Wonder Years. Again, you cannot accuse me of trying to be a cool guy.
Right.
I do not like the idea that we have become a society where cartoon movies leave people completely emotionally exhausted. That's the kind of thing is that, you know, maybe you shed a tear.
Mm-hmm.
I won't blame you. And then you're off. You go home, masturbate, you're on your way.
In every room in the house, right?
Listen, I'm 44. That's what
happened. I see.
Jeff, go ahead.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up?
Hey, quick question for you. Any word around the team about David Pastrnak and why he's all of a sudden a shell of himself? I know there's some rumors out there, but, I mean, is this guy going to come back, you think, or what's going on? And then my other question is, any updates on Krejci?
I know John knows about Krejci.
Yeah, after the game, Bruce Cassidy said Krejci's day-to-day. Apparently, if overtime had gone longer, Krejci might have made it back on the ice. But fortunately for everyone involved, those of us especially watching that have early wake-ups, that it didn't go a very long time. But yeah, Krejci took a big hit in the third period. Everybody saw
it. A clean hit, yeah.
And well, it was a clean hit.
Good
hit. It was a good clean hit. Krejci didn't have his head up. Didn't see him coming.
Former teammate, right?
Nash. Right. And then you get to a point where you worry. Okay, it's overtime. He should be out there. But he wasn't, and of course, there's no word on what was wrong with him. First thing I thought it was concussion protocol. You got to spend so much time in the quiet room. But according to Cassidy, you know, by the time Krejci would have been ready to go, overtime was finished.
All right, Mark, go ahead.
Hey, steak and eggs, guys.
Hey.
It's painfully obvious. Excuse me. that David Pastrnak definitely re-injured that hand somehow. When he gets the puck, he can't stick handle, he can't pass, and he can't shoot, and he won't shoot. You could see he will not shoot the puck.
Yeah, he's given. He's making
to get rid of it right away.
Yeah, he's making unnecessary passes, and he's been doing that for a couple games now. And
he definitely re-injured that hand. And I got a question on that Avengers marathon. You should tell Bird to ask Pasta Joe how much Adderall and cocaine is being passed around in that theater right now.
I'm going to guess none. I'm going to guess that they're flying high on Mountain Dews.
Yeah, code red.
Yeah, I'm going to say that that's the case. Well, if you
Taco Bell,
if you, and we'll check in with him at 7 o'clock. If you watch the NFL draft as I attempted to do last night while watching the Bruins game, you realize that 8 o'clock. I mean, the NFL sucks.
On and on.
When it was Saturday at noon, it was so fun. Like, you could gamble on it, and you could have people over. Mm-hmm. I mean, 8 o'clock is fine, I guess, but this is something that goes on for, you know, 3.5 hours. 8 o'clock, and then you don't get it going until 8:30?
It was as if they looked at last year and said, well, that's too fast. We can't have it be done before 11:30, because then we won't truly own all that four-hour block. We need to make sure we go beyond midnight so that we dominate everything for 4 hours. So let's bump everything back. Let's do pomp and circumstance. By the way, everyone's standing out there in a downpour for the first, 40 minutes, 45 minutes?
Well, so much for it being like this massive scene, because that thing cleared out rather quickly.
Well, but it was impressive. I mean, you looked at the stage.
Visually, it was cool.
Visually, it was at the beginning, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, but the whole outside aspect of it where they said they were taking
over. When the weather sucks, and everything takes a turn for the worse.
Yeah, they were taking over Broadway. That didn't quite live up to this. So I did not see this, but Mike tells me that this was... it's odd to me. So what's the deal, Mike? So Roger Goodell has Marcus Mariota, because he's obviously the quarterback in Tennessee.
I think he also had Mean Joe Green and somebody else was up there.
Okay, I did see that.
Tim Brown.
As soon as I saw that, I turned the channel. So, is this the moving speech by Marcus Mariota?
Yeah, and so Goodell comes out and he announces that these guys have something big to say, and Marcus Mariota gets to step up to the mic first.
Good evening, Nashville! Welcome to Music City! Welcome the next generation of players in celebration of the NFL's 100th season. Before we get started, we have a special announcement that will help launch new memories for one NFL fan. I'm joined by three remarkable men who will assist with this moment. Hey, Marcus, you want to say something to your hometown crowd?
Are they cheering?
How's it, Nashville? Welcome to the NFL draft. Enjoy yourself. Let's go.
I'm glad they did that. Hey, everybody, welcome out. Thank God they did that.
What a waste of time. And then they handed out tickets for 100 years to a family, probably a nosebleed.
Season tickets, that's right.
Stipulations, you probably have to buy like a package to the New York Red Bulls, or they're going to take all your tickets away. And
all I know
is it was such a waste of time.
So it's season tickets for 100 years.
Yeah.
Like, oh, great. Thanks. Now I have this obligation.
How's it, Nashville? Welcome to the NFL draft. Enjoy yourself. Let's go.
Yeah, wow.
Let's get it started, baby.
Caller number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group. Contest line 617-931-0985. We'll score a 4-pack of vouchers to see Avengers Endgame, Marvel Studios' grand conclusion to 22 films. That's courtesy of Fandango.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com.
text Jason to 45911, and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Listen, listen, watch, react in real time. Toucher and Rich are on twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
It's like this.
How's it, Nashville? Welcome to the NFL Draft. Enjoy yourself. Let's go.
Sweet potato pie.
You don't hear this every day.
Domino, right?
This is Domino.
But pie is the sky when you're talking about mass. My pie got a pen named Gene. Got me all straight, now my tip won't bend. Now I'm through for the rest of the night. Unless I find a piece of pie, whether it's loose or tight. I look at here, look at here. I didn't find
this. Some high school shenanigans going on right there. All right, we have Ted Johnson and Mike Lockhart both follow the draft. We don't have a lot of time. We'll get back into it after we talk to Pasta Joe, which very well could be a one-minute phone call with seven questions. All right, Kyler Murray going number one. Where did you guys have him ranked as a quarterback?
I had him as the number two quarterback in a bad class. So, you know, I didn't love him. I thought it was a weird pick for them, but they seemed to like him. They hired a coach that loved him, and I thought it was a slam dunk that they were going to take him. I never really believed that they weren't going to. I wish they didn't take all the time on the clock to take him because it was Boris sitting waiting.
Did you see their war room where they were just, like, sitting there?
Yeah.
And someone asked if it was a photograph, and they were just sitting there. Mr. Johnson, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's the top two quarterbacks, probably Kyler Murray, Dwayne Haskins. Kyler Murray's stature, he's so small, like, and so short that it kind of, like, it just alarms you from just that standpoint. Like, my gosh, this guy's, he's just tiny back there. But when you watch his film, Fred, it's impressive. I mean, a lot of his throws are down the field and accurate. I mean, tons of just bombs he threw in college. On point, on the money, tons of production. And so you go, there's got to be something to that, all right? I will say this about Kyler Murray joining forces with one Cliff Kingsbury. I think Cliff Kingsbury is going to be in way over his head in this deal.
Sure.
Okay? If you saw him coach at Texas Tech, always had great offenses, fun offense, up and down the field, up and down the field. Terrible defenses. And when I see Kyler Murray hooking up with Cliff Kingsbury and they do that air raid offense that he's going to do, it reminds me of a Chip Kelly offense when he was at Philadelphia. A Chip Kelly Philadelphia offense, the time of possession was unbelievable. They averaged the offense for Philadelphia under Chip Kelly 24 minutes a game. 24 minutes a game, time of possession. The defense was on the field forever. They wear down. Texas Tech's defense was always terrible because they were on the field all the time. The same thing's going to happen in Arizona. So it's going to be a fun maybe offense to watch with Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury, but is it going to bring results at the end of the day? Not at all. I don't think so at all. And I think Dwayne Haskins, I tell you what, when I watch this film, that kid's impressive, man. I mean, he's a big, big kid who's got a strong arm. But you know what he's very good at, which a lot of guys his size aren't, is the short to intermediate passes. But in the NFL game is starting. You're seeing principles of the college game starting to fill into the NFL game, where as opposed to being down the field vertical, it's more horizontal passing now. A lot of slip screens. A lot of the short kind of to intermediate passes. And Dwayne Haskins is very accurate with the football on those short to intermediate passes. So I think he has more upside than Kyler Murray. So I think the Redskins did a good job in getting Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah, well, it fell into their laps. All right, we will discuss more of the draft. And like I said, it could be in a minute because we're going to talk briefly with Pasta Joe to find out. Oh, he's not answering the phone? All right. Well, good.
He's sleeping.
Yeah,
tired.
He's tired. Good for him. Well,
excitement.
Well, maybe at 9:20 we'll talk to him. But we'll get back to the draft. We'll talk to Lockhart, and we'll talk to Ted Johnson about it. There will be no commercials here, just the headline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.